accession number 28645, reel 7.
I don't think we did any of the university, did we?
Yes, you did touch on your year at the university.
2 years.
2 years.
Well, where did we get to? I thought we'd stopped where we went off to Edinburgh.
Well, I have a note here that... I'll just stop the tape for a second. So, Suzanne, where we finally decided was that you've now gone to Berlin to stay with the professor of Egyptian to learn proper German, but I think you wanted to say something more about Edinburgh before we go back to Germany.
No, I think Edinburgh will do. I can fill in.
You don't want to say anything more about university? Okay.
No, we just lived a very pleasant life and went to dances and things and collected for coffee mornings, and we didn't do very much work. And, there were all the nice things, and after dances at 5 o'clock in the morning, the coffee stalls came out, and we all collected around the coffee stalls and ate large sausages and bacon. And it was all great fun.
Good.
Great fun and innocent enjoyment. And nobody got drunk. And nobody had even heard of drugs. We had quite an interesting little group. One of them was an older student. He was a Jewish man. And he looked exactly as I think Disraeli must have looked. And he was a very wise body. He was the sort of advisor of the group. If anybody had a problem, then they would go and ask him what he thought about it. The rest of us were around about 18. And he was, I suppose he must have been about 35 or 40. Very handsome man he was. Great presence.
Can I ask, were you all as chaste as one is led to believe? Sometimes when one reads novels of the period, there's a little more, how shall I put it, sexual activity going on than sometimes one now hears.
It was not final sexual activity. I mean, you had somebody who kissed you and that sort of thing, but nothing further. It was a very innocent... lot. Yes, we had a young man in our group who was very much in love with one of the girls, but it never went any further than perhaps a kiss. It was very innocent.
Was that almost universal?
I wouldn't know. I mean, I wasn't universal. We just had our group, but in our group there was certainly no carryings on. Not of that sort. Gracious me, no. No.
Was it the social mores of the time that prevented that, or did
one just didn't think of doing it.
The reason I ask is that the generation before yours...
Mm-hmm.
Who grew up in Edward in England, there was a movement, what one could describe as a free love movement, which sort of predated the 60s,
years. But it wasn't among the young at a university.
It wasn't?
Well, not as far as I'm concerned. Not as far as I knew. There was no excessive... No, it just didn't come into question. Nobody would even suggest doing it. No. Just flirtatious, kissing. That was it. As far as I knew, I knew of no others. I mean, we had our group was about, it varied between about 6 or 8 people. And right across the spectrum of studies at the university. We didn't have any medical students in our lot. So what the medicals did, I don't know.
So it might have been a bit more risque.
No idea. I didn't have anything to do with the medicals. I was on the other side, the arts. But I never heard of anything. I knew lots of my friends who were in couples, as it were. But no, no, absolutely not.
Do you want to move on now to Berlin, or is there anything more that you'd like to say?
Well, there was quite an interesting time at university. Not only were we absorbed into the Nazi, what would you call it? Religion. That's what it was. We haven't mentioned, how did we mention the return of those heroes who were shot and the...
Yes, you did earlier.
We did that.
Yes.
And then, oh yes, now what else happened? Well, in those days, the societies of students, the Studentenbund,
So we're in Germany now. We've left Edinburgh. We've gone to Germany.
Yes, we're back in Munich.
We're back in Munich, right.
And all these students belong to these societies, these Bunde. And they fought every so often. They had to fight. And they either fought with...
Sticks and staves?
No.
Swords?
Not swords, foils. So the general habit was foils, but when you really got serious, you fought with sabres. And I remember on one of my train journeys to Garmisch-Partenkirchen, I got talking to a student, and he told me all about it, and a friend of his had gone in for one of these sabre fights, and he'd got cut from his neck right down to his waist. He died, of course. They were very vicious. Anyhow, my friend Fritz, he belonged to one of these things, and he decided that I ought to go and watch. And women weren't really allowed. I mean, girls weren't allowed at these fights. And they'd all collect, and they'd have a series of fights. There would be so many couples fighting. A great thing was to get yourself a nice, good, jagged cut on the face. And so that you had a nice scar to show afterwards. So I went along to this, and there was one other English girl there who'd got a German student friend who decided she ought to go and have a look as well. And it was absolutely appalling. They were stood up, they were protected up to the neck, and just the head was left free for attack. And there was a rigid number of strokes. That they would always talk sometimes. It's all right, it's probably the furniture. There'd be a number of strokes, and I'm not sure what it was. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think it was 6 or 8, something like that. Swipes at each other. And if they got a really nice cut, then that was fine, they gave up. If they didn't, they had another go. And then you went off into the corner and you got stitched up without an anaesthetic. By that time, I was feeling very sick, and I thought, well, I can't give way. The English girl passed out, so she had to go, and I was feeling so sick, and I thought, I can't give way. I must hold out. I must not give way and show any weakness at all. So I held out, and then they said, come along. You've got to go and watch. Oh, yes, my young man was fighting. And it was absolutely horrible. I saw a piece of his scalp fly into the air. Oh, my God. So after that, one had the pleasure of going and watching these poor young men being stitched up. And they were stitched up very roughly in order to leave a nice scar. They were green in the face. So was I. But I did manage not to be sick. But it was horrible, horrible. And I understand that they've started it again. And they are doing it.
Can I ask you this? Because you were in Germany for 2 or 3 years, really, before you went to Egypt with your father.
Germany and Italy.
Germany and Italy. Did it strike you then, has it struck you since, that there is anything different in the German psyche from other Europeans?
Well, there's a difference in every country's psyche.
Yes, I understand that. That's not what I was trying to say.
The Germans are a very peculiar mixture. They're a mixture of cruelty and beating each other up and beating other people up and being very rough and rude, because I've met some people who were holidaying in Spain, in one of the islands, one of the... which one would it be? It doesn't really matter. Those three islands where they go on holiday. And the Germans were pushing the British off the pavements, just shoving them off. And that was on holiday, when they were supposed to be being nice to each other. But they're a peculiar mixture. They have this cruelty, this sadistic streak, and they can be perfectly horrible, and at the same time they have a yearning to be loved. It's very peculiar. It's very odd indeed. And they're not all like that, of course. I mean, I have one or two very good German friends who are tender-hearted to a degree. But there is that streak in the German nation. They are cruel, they are savage, and they want to be loved. It's very odd.
And they want to be loved, you mean... loved and respected by other people, other nations,
yes,
as opposed to themselves.
Yes. They have this combination. It's peculiar. But there are a lot of very tender-hearted ones and poetical ones and delightful people among them. They're not all like that, but there is this streak in the German nation. It's very odd. They can be so hard, terribly hard. And, of course, I was watching the television the other night. They had a documentary about the way the children were brought up in Germany under the Nazis, and it was horrifying, absolutely horrifying. Every bit of tenderness was driven out of them. They were brought up... It reminded me of a huge Lord of the Flies. The way the children turned in there. It's a ghastly play, that. So that was one thing that I did, which was interesting, because very few foreigners were really allowed in to see these things. Anyhow, my young man recovered and grew some more scalp, so that was all right, and he got a nice cut and he was very proud of it. They all had these cuts on their faces, and you had to have one to be worthy of anything at all. And this dreadful story of the poor young man who was cut from neck to waist, dreadful, but that sort of thing happened. When they really wanted to show their courage, then they did these sabre fights. I've never heard about them anywhere else. Otherwise, what else did I do? Oh, I learned to skate. And I learned the skater's waltz. And there is nothing more exquisite than to dance the skater's waltz. It is quite... ravishing. It's so lovely, the movement, the way you glide into the various steps. Beautiful, beautiful, one of the jewels in my life. And after that, of course, what else happens? Well, there was the return of the heroes, which we did. with the bowls of fire and the flags. We did that, I think.
Yes.
So I departed for Berlin, full of my Nazi dreams. My mother went back to England full of Nazi dreams. So now what did we do in Berlin? Did we do the artist?
We haven't done anything in Berlin.
We've not done anything in Berlin, right. So I arrived in Berlin and there was the professor who was pro-Kaiser, and there was the professor's wife who was Nazi, and the professor's son who was neither, and who was a delightful young man, very gentle, very, very spiritual, very, all the nice things.
What, can you remember his name?
Dieter. D-I-E-T-E-L.
Yes. And their surname?
Schaefer.
Schaefer,
yes.
As in the pens.
S-C-H-A-E-F-F-E-R. There was another son who was in the army. And we didn't see much of him. And so then I was going to study art. And I don't know how we found the artist. She was Polish. And she was married to a German professor who was at the Reimer Art Kunstschule. That's R-A-I-M-E-R. Reimer Kunstschule. So I was entered in the school, but the Polish wife gave me private lessons in her studio. And that was very interesting.
Private art lessons?
Yes.
Were these lessons that taught you the technique of drawing?
Taught me a colour, the knowledge of colour. There was the Goethe system, and I can't remember what the other system was called, but you did squares of colour and you added, you started with a pure colour, and then across this way you added white, and across this way you added greater black. You finished up with all the shades of colour that you could get into that square. It was fascinating.
So horizontally you added white, and vertically,
yes,
you added black.
That's right. And then it went across with different amounts, and from the pure colour down to the darkest or the palest. Anyhow, she taught me a lot about drawing and so on and so forth. And that was when my dreams came crashing down. Because not far from her studio, there was a military place. And most of the day, you could hear shots, and they were killing people all day. So
who was killing whom?
Oh, the Germans were killing Jews and things.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yes, you could hear them shooting most of the day. And I said, "What's that?" And she told me. So bang went my dreams.
And this was in some sort of military barracks,
yes. And next door to her, in the next door flat, she had a rabid Nazi official of some sort or other, rather nasty fat man, and she bored a hole in the wall in between. She used to spy on him and see what he was up to. She was a real firebrand, that woman. I'm sure she got into trouble in the end. She couldn't escape. She couldn't keep her mouth shut. But she, anyhow, she told me a whole lot of home truths. So that was that. And then the son and I used to talk, and he used to tell me what he was studying and so on
in
and
German.
So forth. Yes. And he belonged to a thing called the Wandervogel. which was a peaceful and artistic club, as it were. And of course it was a heinous offence to belong to the Van der Vogel. Meanwhile, he was trying to get his degree at the university. And because of this liaison with the club, he kept on being turned down. It didn't matter how good his work was, they failed him. And he told me all about this. And one night we were talking, we talked about 2 o'clock in the morning. And don't know, we were talking about a silly story and somebody shot somebody anyway. And we went up to bed, and in the morning it had snowed all night. And there was that eerie silence that there always is after a heavy fall of snow. And I got up because I was supposed to go and do my art lesson. And I went out of my room and I noticed that his door was not shut and it was flapping gently. And I thought, that's peculiar. I went off to my lesson. When I got home, they told me he'd committed suicide.
Dieter Schaefer.
Yes, but I don't believe it. I think he was shot. He'd been found in the park. And they had him buried that the same day. There was no autopsy, there was nothing. He was just buried. So I think he was shot. I don't believe he committed suicide. He showed no signs of it the night before. None at all. Well, that finished me off, of course. I had a breakdown and I got ill. And that was when my mother came across and collected me and took me off to Italy to recover. In the interim, I'd been to London and spent Christmas with her in Torquay. And I told her about Hitler, and it broke her heart. Absolutely broke her heart. She really was dreadfully upset.
To learn that the idol had feet of clay.
Worse than clay. It was a terrible shock to us both. It was worse to my mother because she really worshipped him. Because she loved Germany so much and she was so glad to see it coming back to life. Because the peace was wicked. It was...
Peace of Versailles.
Yes, it really started off really on all the wrong possible feet. Did the wrong things.
Well, it was Keynes who said that the peace of Versailles, like the peace of God, passeth all understanding.
Yes, well, it didn't pass the understanding of Wilson, who was responsible for a lot of it. Did he have syphilis? I was told he did. And that had affected his mind.
I'm not an expert on the subject.
Well, I was told that by somebody who knew about the Versailles Treaty and all the rest of it, and they said that he was syphilitic and it had affected his brain and he didn't really know what he was doing. I don't know whether it's true or not. I was told that years and years and years ago when we were in the Dolomites and we were seeing the results of what he'd done, handing over the whole part of the whole Dolomites to Italy from Austria. It was a terrible thing to do.
Can I just check up on something in Berlin? Two things. One, you were only there a short period.
No, I went January. Oh, I was there for Hitler's birthday, and I'm not quite sure how, but I was. And the professor took me to see the parade, which went right up one of the main avenues in Berlin. And the Graf Zeppelin and the Hindenburg flew over the parade together, side by side. It was most impressive, because they can't have been more than, I don't know, perhaps 40 metres in the air. They were right down on top of you. And they flew over the military parade with all these flags flying and all the rest of it, and tanks and God knows what. And then these two huge things flying overhead. Incredible it was. That can't have been very long before the Hindenburg went up in flames.
Because we're now into the spring of 37.
That's right. Are we, though? No, I think we're still in 36. So much happened, you know. So the...
Well, the Winter Olympics in January 36, so you
that's
can't
right,
be...
and it was straight away after those that...
You went to Berlin.
That I went to Berlin.
Okay, so spring 36.
Everything sort of concertinas. It's amazing it, what it, we did.
It is. So you still have the Summer Olympics, of course, in Berlin to come. Were you
yes,
in...
No, I wasn't there. My mother carted me off to Sicily by then to recover from Dieter's death, because that affected me very badly indeed. I mean, I wasn't in love with him or anything like that, but we were great friends. And I admired his mind. He was very... Oh! And yes, and at the same time, my life nearly took a different, completely different route. I sometimes wonder what would have happened. There was a very famous botanist. He was a friend of the papers. He and a friend came to dinner. And they saw some of my painting. And they were just... Our professor deemed me too young to go off to Africa and paint, so it was squashed. Funny, you know, my life might have taken a third time, I'd have been a famous
botanist. Are you sorry? Beriberi or Blackwater fever.
Yes, that's right. All sorts of possibilities. I don't know what happened to the expedition. I never heard.
Probably eaten by natives.
Also a possibility. Pygmies, where are they carnivores?
I have no idea.
I don't think they were very foreigner friendly.
Where exactly? I mean, the pygmies live in parts of the Congo, so this is
that's right.
This is where this expedition was going.
The African jungle in general. Anyway, I didn't